Welcome to a bonus adventure of Dumplings and Dragons. This is just me and Jess Hong, Benjamin Tay and Jess Hong playing for to figure out the Lee Dragonblood hiatus, our Drow Paladin adventure. So do you, Jess, remember what we wrote in the chat about like how Lee disappeared from the rest of the party?
Yeah, I'll try to do this without looking at this actually. So, because I remember also what we discussed before you guys played that session.
Cool.
Lee's friends / trainee buddies from the Temple of Goldstar, her paladin trainee buddies, whose names I totally remember. But, you know, I'll just admit for the sake of streamlining. My friends from the Goldstar Temple, they suddenly appeared and they were like, Lee, bro, you know, there's a war upcoming. Don't know if you felt it, but we felt it. And we're being hailed back to the temple to like prepare for war. So come on over. And then I know in the session, Jeeling and Backbone tried to do something, but then they failed their roles. Lee just went, see it. Peace.
Cool.
Literally so, peace.
Yeah, literally peace. Literally fighting for peace, right? So we have Lee Dragonblood, who on that fateful night, I believe that the party were camped around a fire. They had
around the camp.
The Gar, the dwarf, hanging out with them.
Yeah, nice.
And when it was her turn for watch, Lee Dragonblood, she saw a portal open between a few trees nearby. Ooh. And there was her paladin of the Goldstar training buddies, Biri and Zook, Brass Dragonborn and a gnome paladin respectively, who hailed you. And they were like, yes, we have to go. We're on a special assignment for the temple. We are going to try to stop this war before it begins. Mm. And the way I've written the Temple of the Gold Star, it has three tenets, which are heal the broken, comfort the hurt, guide the loss. Yeah. And when you were summoned back to the temple with your two buddies, Biri and Zook, the two gnome clerics who run the temple, who are actually Zook's parents, they added in a fourth tenet, which is stop the war.
Ooh. Stop the war.
And so we're gonna do a world building session today and figure out what the adventure has been for Lee Dragonblood, Drow Paladin, Biri Yajirit, Brass Dragonborn Paladin, and Zook Turin, Gnome Paladin, all three paladins of the Gold Star.
Mm. Alrighty.
So, let's have.
Oh, I skipped through the portal, did I?
Yeah. So, you know, like we're not even really doing too much narratively. We're more just rolling to see what the experiences have been for Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, just
it's cool to know that I went through a portal. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Right. Like. You know what? Lee, Dragonblood, Jess Hong.
Yo.
Tell me how you imagine Biri Yajirit, this brass dragonborn, to look like.
The dragonborn, the brass dragonborn.
Brass dragonborn. So, breath weapon is fire.
Okay, cool. So Billy, they, he, she, they?
I think it's a she. I remember it being a she.
I haven't looked at my cash how long I should have. I think Zook's a dude.
Yeah, Zook is, he's a brooding male gnome, or at least he was. And Biri is, I've written here, she's laughing, hulking, brass dragonborn.
So yeah, Biri Yajirit is a laughing, hulking, brass dragonborn.
They work. 10 out of 10.
Okay, she has these beautiful, like ochre brown scales that reflect light, but very faintly. So they kind of, they almost look like bronze.
Cool.
And she's very muscular, very tall, and looks very intimidating to the eye, but is a gentle giant and very, very loving. And was actually the one that took care of me the most when I was training with them. Because even though I'm hundreds of years old, I was still felt like the baby in the group. And she has, let's say, browny red hair that matches her scales.
Ooh.
Which she usually cuts pretty short, like shoulder length.
Ooh, just to, like, interesting. Cool.
And piercing yellow eyes.
Nice. What do you reckon her weapon of choice is?
Ooh, I reckon she, I don't know, what's, does she have a class?
Yeah, so all three of you are paladins.
Of course. I mean, I was just testing you there. Good job, DM. So I reckon she's just got a good old sword.
Cool. I'm gonna just say it's a broadsword. It's a massive blade.
That feels appropriate.
Yeah. And how do you imagine Zook to look?
So are there any special qualities to the Turin children?
Ooh. You mean racial traits for the gnomes or just specifically the Turin family?
Maybe both. Maybe just give me the gnome.
Okay. So off the top of my head, gnomes are inventors and they tend to be quite... They tend to be quite intelligent and they don't usually they're not usually presented as warriors. They're more scholarly types or trickster types. They're usually good-hearted. Their lifespan's usually 350 years to 500 years long.
Okay.
They are, I think, the size of it, like they're smaller, usually 3 to 4 feet tall.
Yes.
Yeah. Does that help with anything? They tend to live underground usually, but not always. So, you know, like these are all just guidelines.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's enough. So Zook, he's a real jolly person. Which
I'm gonna say, because previously we had written that he's brooding, so he's now become jolly. Shit. No, this is good. This is good. I reckon he's now become jolly because he's been hanging out with Biri.
Yeah, he's become jolly. He entered the temple as like this real like emo kid. He was, I guess, a teenager for gnomes.
I mean, that's what happens when your parents run the temple, man.
Yeah, bro. And he was like a little bit like, don't even want to be here. But then as time went on, he was like, this is kind of cool. We're like training to save the world, kind of.
Okay, cool.
This is all right. And he's always had a real cool, dry sense of humor, which has now developed into a more jolly sense of humor.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty dry. It's
pretty light. Yeah. I like that.
Okay. And yeah, he's just like, I'm going to say Lee is not as close to Zook as she is to Biri.
Cool.
But he's kind of like their really cool cousin that they just want to take care of and protect.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. So you think that he feels like the youngest of the group?
I did say Lee felt like the baby, didn't I?
It's D&D. We're constantly rewriting.
I think Zook's going to be like the kid.
Okay, cool. So Zook's like the kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you imagine his main weapon of choice is?
I think it could be cool if he was like, if he made his own weapon. Could he make his own weapon?
Sure. Do you imagine it any particular way, or I can try to roll it or something, or just feel what?
Can I make it? Have you ever seen Mr. Pee-wee, that film about the guy? So it's this inventor.
Pee-wee and his house? No, I never watched it.
Okay, it's so specific. So
Pee-wee's Playhouse or Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Pee-wee's Big Adventure. So he has this like coat full of devices, and anything pops out of the coat. He even has one where like giant springy stilts pop up, and he can like walk really far on these giant springy.
Oh, it sounds so Inspector Gadget like. Okay.
It's very Inspector Gadget. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a coat of many things that he keeps adding to and modifying.
That kind of works because gnomes are usually tinkerers. So maybe we can say that he's playing around with like, I don't know. I don't really want to say guns or something like that.
Maybe. Nah, actually, have you seen The Goonies? The inventor kid, he has a special device that has a boxing glove and it punches people. So the coat's main weapon is a double boxing glove. But maybe he modifies them. Maybe they have like knuckle dusters on them sometimes.
Yeah, that's great. I both man, honestly, I both hate and love this. So I think that's a great step.
And he also uses the stilts a lot, the swingy stilts.
Stilts, okay. Yep. I mean, he's a paladin of the gold star, all right. Whatever that means.
Whatever the fuck that means. Yeah.
Thank you, Jessong. I love it.
I love that force.
I love this. This is so good. Cool. So let's roll for an adventure, and I want you to roll me a D8 and a D20.
It's been a while. D8 and a D20. Okay, I got a 7 on the 8, and I got a 1.
On the 20?
On the 20.
Cool. So, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Can you roll me a D12 as well?
12, yes. I got a 1.
Okay.
Number 1.
So, what's has come up is I made you roll for adversary motivation, which means that the three of you went to solve or went to confront an enemy that was filled with wrath.
Ooh.
And somehow the adventure, which was the D20 roll, you rolled a one, which is an escape. So I think it's somehow the three of you have to escape this enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And the location was the D12, and you rolled one, which was the Wilderness Hills. So together, we're going to try and brainstorm what the adventure was that the three of you went on.
All right. Enemy of Wrath, we escaped. And from or towards the Wilderness Hills of Wilderness Hills?
From, towards, could be the Wilderness Hills. I think specifically the hills is the thing we're focusing on. Can you also roll me a D10?
Yeah. Yeah, this one. Two.
Two. Ooh, cool. So this was the plot complication. And the plot complication is that the reward was cursed or trapped or inconvenient.
Okay.
So what are some possibilities that are coming to mind for you?
Well, or inconvenienced.
Yeah.
As we discussed before we started this recording, I really want to contrive that they end up in some version of a beach holiday.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So yes. At some point, I want them to be maybe like trapped in on an island where they have to like wear swimsuits and play in the water.
Okay, so do you want this to be before or after the adventure?
It can be like any time. Maybe so, after would be good because then they can unwind. After,
okay,
like,
so for anyone who's listening or watching at this point, the aspect that Jess is talking about is that she wanted the three paladins, because they had never really relaxed together as a trio. They'd only ever trained together. She wanted them to kind of sneak off and just basically have a holiday together. These three individuals who had trained together as paladins under the tutelage of Zook's parents, who run the Southern Temple of the Guildstar. So I want the audience to imagine a large, laughing, hulking, brass dragonborn in... Do you imagine her in a bikini or a one-piece?
Oh, definitely a one-piece.
A one-piece. Zook, Turin, probably in board shorts. And Lee Dragonblood in?
Also a one-piece.
Also a one-piece.
I'll go into the imagery. Okay. The hulking brass dragonborn is wearing a really strangely revealing but not revealing one-piece suit that has like base, it's basically like a thong but that goes from the neck down.
What?
To the bottom. And is like really sticky and is like cutouts on the side, revealing the beautiful brass scales. A couple of like floaters. And good old Zook, our mate Zook, is wearing just like Hawaiian themed board shorts.
That's great. What color?
And Lee Dragonblood is in a full on. Actually, Lee Dragonblood is in a like a waterproof kind of crop vest.
Okay, interesting.
And also board shorts, I'm gonna say.
Oh, okay.
All black.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So I have also rolled, and I have a type of creature that the three of them would have ended up fighting quite a few of. But I want you to roll me a d4 to see like which one was the most common of these, of this type of creature.
A two.
So they fought giants the most on this adventure. Okay. So they're in the wilderness hills fighting giants. There was a reward that was cursed or trapped or inconvenience. Their enemy was filled with wrath, and the adventure that they had to embark on somehow involved escape.
Yeah, okay. All right, cool. So let's rewind it back. So Lee leaves the campfire of her friends. They portal supposedly back to the Temple of Goldstar, right? They're heading directly back. The portal, right? It has that ability to just cross
space. Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Let's say some enemy of Wrath, made up of mostly giants. Let's say Zook got into some trouble, maybe some gambling trouble or something with a giant friend. It was actually like a friend. But then fell out with his giant friend. And therefore, the giant friend went and sought some help to get revenge on Zook, to play a revenge, like, but not like a super deathly revenge, like more just to take the piss out of him.
Okay.
That makes sense. But maybe also scratch him up a bit.
Okay.
So the giants somehow got a hold of, okay, I want to bring in some other lore. Am I allowed to do like other lore from another franchise?
Yeah, sure. I mean, just do what you want and then we'll see how feasible or unfeasible it is.
Have you seen the fourth Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix?
Yes.
The portkey.
Okay.
Let's say the giants got their hands on a portkey device of some sort or something similar, and they like somehow cursed Zook's portal and they portkeyed them instead to the wilderness hills. And they portkeyed them so that they fell out of the sky into the wilderness hills. I'm like, fuck. Landed in the middle of nowhere and then are suddenly ambushed by the giants.
Cool. So yeah. I'm going to take that and I'm going to add in certain elements and say that the specific giants that Zook had a gambling debt to is a cloud giant, because cloud giants are the type of giants that tend to have treasure. Okay. And we are going to say that this cloud giant's name is Barnabas.
Barnabas, great.
And he had hired a lot of hill giants. So similar species, but hill giants tend to be dim-witted and more about just physical violence. So I think that they usually rated lower for people who listen to this. I'm still a newbie DM. I haven't played many giants yet. So we're just building this as we go. So Barnabas the cloud giant sets quite a few hill giants on the three of you. And that's where the wrath and the hills come in. And the three of you had to escape the hills. Let's add in the reward here somehow. So maybe... Yeah. Do you imagine that the portkey was the reward that was trapped and that's why they ended up in the hills?
I reckon it would be cool if Zook stole the reward from the gambling fallout.
Okay. So let's look to a magical item, I think, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you roll me a D, I don't know, I guess 100?
Okay.
And let's see what comes up. And we'll make it a pretty I'll try and find something that's quite powerful so it kind of makes more sense.
Because it would be so the portkey was just so that Barnabas could get them to the hills.
True.
But what would be cool if the reward is the thing that gets them to the island somehow.
Oh, okay. So what do you think would have gotten them from the hills to the island?
Yeah, maybe it's similar to a portal thing. It kind of like takes them almost to an isolated reality. Or is that going way too intense into like...
I don't know. Let's find out.
Yeah.
So, nope, this is a spell. Let's see what else we can have. Ooh.
Ooh.
Nope, it's also a spell. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so this is something that's interesting. Let's say that he found something called a portal staff.
Portal staff, right.
So it is basically in a similar way that the portal that was created for Biri and Zook to get Li back to the temple. This portal staff is able to create portals as a bonus action that the wielder has been to or can see or has seen.
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah. And so he's able to get you to a beach that he's seen before. Maybe, maybe it's a place he's been before, or maybe, you know what? I like the idea that it's a postcard that he's never been to and he goes exactly to that place.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
So now Zook has stolen a portal staff from
I want to say that Zook got
Barnaby.
Barnabas really drunk and tricked him into betting it when he didn't want to.
Yeah, sure, that's so great.
From him in a bit.
And we need to figure out some limitations for the portal staff, because otherwise it becomes a bit too powerful. How can we limit the power narratively for...
Could it just have could it just have something like a bad side to it as well? So like if you use it once, you one day in the place is actually like 5 days and you bounce back.
Oh, okay. So there's time, time payment or something. That's cool.
Yeah, time payment. And you have to bounce back after like 24 hours in the place.
Oh, that's actually really cool, because then that can explain why the reward was cursed, right? And so you guys escaped and then ended up back where Barnabas was, and then had to fight even more giants.
Yeah.
And managed to get out. But yeah, I think there has to be more of a cost.
Okay.
So possibly it's also starting to, let's go back to the wrath. It's causing Zook to go from his jolly self to being quite broody again.
Okay.
Both Biri and Li realizes that if you use the staff too often, you end up slashing out at the people around you. So can you roll me a d4? Let's see who gets hurt the most in the altercation between Biri, Li versus Zook. when that happens as well.
Okay, three.
Three? Okay, so I'm going to say what happens is that you both, Lee and Barry, manage to overpower Zook and they knock him unconscious, but they almost kill him. And he's essentially like a brother to them, right? And they already feel so guilty because he's like the younger brother that they always wanted to protect.
Yeah.
So in a sense, like having him lash out at you because this item is cursed, it's made it so that all three of you know how dangerous it can be. And obviously because you're both healers, you are able to get him back on his feet.
Yeah.
But now, what would you do with the staff?
Now, okay, hang on. Can we just go over the timeline of
sure
what that happens? So, okay, Lee follows Zook and Betty through the portal, but it's like taken over by Barnabas. They drop from the sky into the wilderness hill. They're ambushed by Barnabas the Cloud Giant and the Hill Giants.
Yeah. Like think of him as a gang of giants, and he's like the main giant, the Cloud Giant, Barnabas. Yeah,
he's like laughing, like, and then Zook pulls out the portal staff.
Yeah, so he's already won that previously from Barnabas when he got Barnabas drunk, which I imagine is a very impressive feat because he's a cloud giant, and tricked him into betting it.
Yeah.
In a rigged game or something.
Yeah. And so Barnabas wants the staff back, but Zook pulls it out at some point to use it, and then they go to the island.
Yeah, and then the three of you end up on the island sunbathing and having this weird interlude. Yeah.
For a short amount of time, they have a great, restful, relaxing time on the island. So they
literally have shore leave.
Yeah, yeah. The clothes have just appeared out of nowhere. okay, and then at some point in the night, they realize that Zook's changing. Right? He's changing, maybe his eyes glow red and his will transforms, and then he suddenly attacks them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's when they knock him unconscious. And I think after you bring him back to consciousness and you talk about it, what do the three of you do with the staff?
So they should try to destroy it or something. Because there'd be a conscience thing of if they got it back to Barnabas, then, well, he's just going to go on another rampage or something. That's probably why he has such anger issues, because he's using the staff.
Yeah, possibly.
So, I reckon...
Well, I can make some suggestions if you like.
Yeah, all I can think of is like bury it on the island.
Yeah, so I was thinking of they bury it in the island, or they could also put it in storage at the temple. I like the idea that it gets buried in the island
burying it on the island. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's say it gets buried in the island.
Okay, let's bury it in the island, and the island is just a random island that Zook saw in a postcard once.
Yeah. So this is interesting because it could literally lead to a treasure hunt.
Yeah, I was just thinking they make a map. They make a map!
And you know how we said, like, after a certain point of time, they end up going back to the hills where they escaped from Barnabas and his hill giant gang. They fight, they flee, they manage to escape, and Barnabas has no idea where the portal staff is, and he wants it back. And the three paladins, even though it's quite funny because I fully had imagined that this adventure would be about trying to stop the war, and it's mostly been a treasure heist. So they haven't really embarked on this adventure yet.
Okay.
But that's cool. You know, like, we can make that further along.
Exactly. Let's say they escape and they get back to the temple. Okay. But to cool Barnabas's rage, they give him the treasure map that they made. But they filled it with random... they filled it with false information, so he'll never...
I'm going to roll and see what I... Because I think Barnabas would have done something different.
Okay.
And I think what he did was he gave... Sorry, I think Zook would have done something different. And I think that Zook would have given Barnaby a fake map and kept the real map for himself.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. That's a good one.
So there's still this extra backstory for the three paladins of the Gold Star.
Yeah!
Cool. I'm really happy with that. That was great. I'm so excited that this is what came out of us randomly rolling up a side adventure for Lee Dragonblood.
Oh, so good. We could have a spin-off for Zook.
Yeah. Oh, great, man. So previously, I did one of these one-on-one sessions with Dillis for it. Mm. And I really regret that we didn't record that one. So I'm so glad that we recorded this one. Yeah.
Yeah, shot. Cool. What happened to that time? When was that? When did she disappear? When did they disappear?
That would have been, I think, around the same time. Oh, no, it was when Tom Wardle guest starred.
Ah, yes.
So Aether had come on. Yeah.
That's right. And they disappeared with the necklace.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm going to stop recording. And so we're going to sign off with thank you for listening to this bonus episode of Dungeons & Dragons with your DM, Benjamin Tay, and your special guest, not special guest because she's part of the main cast, Jess Hong, that we are so glad and proud of. I'm so happy that we got to play this one, Jess.
Yeah. For the record, I'm in London, for anyone who doesn't know.
On the fancy shoot. Okay.
On a shoot.
I'm gonna end it there.
All right.
Thanks, team.
Peace.